It's the boys in blues, but at friendly ones currently. I don't know for some inexplicable reason how we've all ended up in the old navy blue, but rugby league time with Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph. Good to see you, Dean.
TK, good morning. Laurie, good morning.
Didn't you get the memo, mate? No blue shirt.
Yeah, but mine's a real quality blue. Yours is cheap from Bali.
No, mine's blue. TK's is a cheap.
Do you think we should have the blow up like Amber and Julie and all that?
That was
they all
a good
wore
blow up,
white.
I told
Remember
you,
that?
Laurie, not to wear blue.
Go and get out of that now.
Oh, well, my blue shirt fits me well.
So does mine.
I don't know whether TK's is blue.
I'll tell you what, I don't know, but there's always a blue in there's always a blue in rugby league circles, isn't there? Beautiful segue there. But I guess the latest one we've got to deal with, it's a serious one, unfortunately. We've had two high-profile players in the courts, in local courts over the past 48 hours. Jared Hayne on Monday, and then yesterday, Dylan Walker fronted Manly local court facing two charges of assault. And while this is still in court, it's a strange one because the alleged victim, his fiancée, attended court with Dylan. They actually left court holding hands, and the intention from the barrister looked like she was going to withdraw her accusations and charges against her partner in Dylan Walker. So it's still in the courts, Dean.
Yeah, look, what you say, Terry, is spot on. She will retract her statement. They go back to court, or Dylan goes back to court on the 18th of December. But don't be fooled. The police, from what I understand here, are quite determined to press ahead. About 3 years ago, they brought in this new legislation that says we can now pursue a matter if we think something has happened. Previously, if a victim recanted, then basically it was all bets off. Now they can pursue it. Now, I know of a person who witnessed this. This person said it wasn't great. He's happy to be involved. He doesn't want to speak to the media, but he wants to push ahead. He said he was abused by Dylan Walker when he approached the situation. So, look, it's an ugly situation. We haven't heard the end of it. I still think you'll find the police will push ahead. Look, whether the key element or the key evidence is her statement, which they don't have anymore, but with eyewitnesses, and of course they've got paramedic reports as well, because she did sustained scratches and abrasions to neck, foot and shoulder.
It's not a good look, but again, we have to be careful.
He has pleaded not guilty.
What we say. Yeah, and he has pleaded not
guilty.
And
so too Jared Hayne, by the way.
Yeah. So Jared Hayne. It's just disappointing, isn't it, that we find ourselves in this situation and it's becoming a bit more common. And I know we do a lot of education on these topics in the NRL or at the NRL, and the message needs to be getting through about violence towards women. And again, you know, we're stressing that, you know, these are allegations at this stage and both parties have pleaded not guilty, and we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out in the coming days. But what's happening on the playing field front? Alex Johnson with South Sydney, there was some talk that he was unhappy at the club and he may ask for release because he wants to play fullback. What's the latest update with Alex?
Yeah, the latest update is, Laurie, he is still restless. He does want to play fullback. You're spot on. He just clearly doesn't want to play on the wing. So I think there's going to be a few twists and turns in this story in coming weeks. I still get a feeling that he may not be there next year. There was a link to Cronulla. That money may now have gone through Sean Johnson. The other issue with South Sydney are confronting is Robert Jennings. I understand that he has agreed to a contract extension there, but South just can't fit him under the cap just yet. So it's a bit of an unusual situation. They may have to offload a player or two. And last night I made a couple of calls, guys, and it's only very tenuous and very preliminary, but there was a link between Robert Jennings and St. George Illawarra.
Right. Well, I'll ask about Robert Jennings in a minute, but you mentioned salary cap money taken up by Sean Johnson will stop the link with Alex Johnson going to the club. What did you make of today's story on the front and back page of the Telegraph, written by Phil Rothfield, that the Sharks could be hit with a $400,000 fine? Shane Flanagan, their coach, may or may not stay at the club. He may be suspended by the NRL or sacked from the Sharks because he's had contact with club players and officials during the 12-month ban back in 2013.
Yeah, that ban, Laurie, the NRL implemented, and TK, was that he have no contact with club officials during that ban. Now, the Telegraph, through Buzz Rothfield this morning, claims that Flanagan did have contact through welfare issues, off-contract players and long-term injury updates. TK, I heard you this morning. You were spot on. You said, once you start handing over your software, that's when the problem started. So they handed it over because they had to. Barry Russell self-imposed. And that's where the issues start. But the key issue here, guys, is the $400,000. That was a fine imposed on the Sharks, which was suspended at the time. We all know Cronulla ran at a loss last year of $3 to $4 million. So $400,000 right now could be an absolute crippling blow.
But is that 400 suspension still hanging over their head? It's still hanging over their head.
It is.
It was over 5 years or something.
It was over three, I think, Laurie, from memory.
3 years, right.
We should be clear here. This is separate to the salary cap investigation, which is currently underway as well. So hopefully Shane Flanagan's not involved in that as well, because that would be a double whammy in a week.
And I also stated earlier on this morning, we've been talking about it for weeks, about trouble on the radar at Cronulla, depending what source that you want to listen to. Some people told me it's going to be diabolical, and others say, don't worry, there's not much in it. Well, I think the more you dig, the more you can find. And I remember even at the time, Shane Flanagan, I mean, he was attending Cronulla games, which was his right. Bumping into officials all the time. Yeah. But this is different. I mean, this is solid black and white evidence, isn't it?
I think he had to be cleared to go to those games. And it
was
under proviso.
Watch his boy play.
Well, that's exactly right. It was under proviso that he was going to watch his son play. Yeah. But this is completely different.
What happens if sitting down and sending, what if they call Shane Flanagan? What's he supposed to do? Hang up? Say, ask me about the weather, but don't ask me about a player. It's a very loose situation and very difficult to implement and police. If you've got your officials, who probably double as his mates, ringing him up perhaps to go for a beer or whatever.
You could be just doing a welfare check. You could be ringing. But the problem is, I've got no drama with a phone call because you don't know what's happened.
The emails will be the killers.
But the emails are the ones.
That'll be the killers.
Depending on how deep you get into the conversation knowingly about salary cap issues and player welfare issues when you know you can't get involved in that stuff. And list management decisions.
We're currently chatting with Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph about all things rugby league. One of our weekly experts last season was Corey Norman. And every week we virtually said, I hate to say this, mate, you're still there? Yeah, bud, I'm still here. The Norm always lands on his feet. Anyway, he's on up $900,000 this year. He's not going anywhere. I wouldn't be going anywhere. But, geez, they've been trying to shift him for, seems like, forever now.
TK, you're probably going to bag me, but I'm hearing, once again, that he will go to St. George.
It's just to work the deal out, isn't it?
Actually, let me rephrase it. He could go to St. George, but I'm hearing talks are advancing and that it could actually be done by Christmas.
Does that mean, though, that Gareth Widdop then could be on the move?
It could well
Straight
mean
away.
That Widdop could go the following year, yes.
So Widdop would be a definite starter next season, even if Norman
Correct.
Is at the club.
Correct. It would mean, obviously, Mitchell Moses, who keeps getting linked around to other clubs and has been told he can explore his options, would obviously stay now. They would want to keep one of the two. But it looks like maybe, just maybe, the Corey Norman situation can finally be settled. And he may end up a Dragon by Christmas.
Right. Well, the Dragons, of course, with Gareth Widdop indicating that he wants to return home to the English Super League, I'm just wondering whether, he might, if the Dragons are able to secure Corey Norman, that might happen straight away.
I don't see Gareth Widdop getting to the line in 2019.
Because you've got to remember, Ben Hunt is on a lot of money. Gareth Widdop would be on a lot of money. James Graham would be on a lot of money.
There's salary cap pressure.
I think there'd be salary cap pressure there. So for me,
Gut feeling
would be if they get Corey Norman, and again, depending on what they pay for him next year and what Parramatta are going to throw into the mix. But gut feel, I would think that Gareth might look to go straight away. But again, I don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone, but that's the gut feel.
Your gut feel, TK, you said he mightn't get to the line for 19. Do you say for the season or after the season?
Well, if they can get the deal with Norman, I don't think they can get the deal with Norman and keep Gareth.
See, Widdop said, I will go at some point. So he's actually told them he's going. It could be flipped on its head here, and they might say, listen, we now want you to go. You're free to go immediately if you want. There is the money in the Super League to get him across the line.
You've got marquee allowances
over
there.
Exactly. So
he'll be a wizard over there. He'll score 1,000 points and set up 1,000 points.
Well, he'll be their best player. Yeah. I mean, he's a star in our competition, and he means so much to the Dragons, and you see how they fade out.
Man of Steel, get on now.
Man of Steel.
He'd be the Man of Steel.
Yeah. Oh, him or Blake Austin. I think Blake Austin will be a terrific buy over there as well for Warrington.
That Tommy Mackinson guy, I was talking of Super League, I think he won the Golden Boot, didn't he?
He did.
The English player.
Winger.
He was spotted in Newcastle. Nathan Brown has said we don't want him. He was just up here for other reasons. But I am hearing, though, that he may still ask for a release after next season with St Helens and come out here. So I think you'll find that Mackinson will be in the NRL. It may not be in 19, but I think you'll find he will be here in 2020.
Who's he linked with, mate, anyway?
I think Newcastle, because his family are quite good friends with Nathan Brown and his family.
Fair enough. Penrith rule out using Western Sydney Stadium. So
it was funny because Gus kept putting up on Twitter that they might use it. Let's dip our toe in the water. Let's see what crowd we get there. But I've just made a few more inquiries about that. Look, the theory at Penrith is, look, our stadium isn't as good as Western Sydney. We know that. But the key is all the people at Penrith go back to Panthers after a game. Why would they want to go to Parramatta Stadium or Western Sydney Stadium and have all the same people go back to Parramatta Leagues Club? It doesn't make financial sense. So I think you'll find that the Panthers will sit tight at Penrith and wait for the new stadium to be built. At the moment, there's no real rush there. There's no pressure on governments to do it, but it will happen eventually. There will be a new stadium at Penrith probably in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, they were hoping the initial plan was one at Moore Park, Parramatta, and it was either going to be Liverpool or Penrith get redone, get a super stadium for the outer west of Sydney. Then, of course, that didn't come to fruition because now it's ANZ, Moore Park and Parramatta. But at one stage, they were hopeful they were going to be one of the three, or it was going to be at Liverpool. But of course, state governments, depending where they need votes, things change pretty quickly.
What is the latest, actually, Dean, with the government and the Labor government with opposition leader Michael Daly?
Cousin Michael.
Saying that, you know, if they're elected, then they won't be giving money for the stadium redevelopment.
Well, they're standing strong. They're standing
firm.
They
backflip all the time, but you wouldn't think he could backflip on that.
Do you reckon it's a genuine threat, though, by the NRL to take the game away from Sydney, the grand final away from Sydney?
I think it's a genuine threat, if nothing else, to show that the NRL has some muscle. If they just roll over here, it's going to be like, well, you're a sporting organisation and you don't have any power. They might say, you know what, let's do this. Let's really flex the muscles. We'll get all our members on side and we'll have a crack at this situation. Look, the government at the moment is proceeding. It will be demolished in January, Allianz Stadium. But look, Michael Daly's been quite strong. The money set aside, the $1.9 billion for stadium improvements and upgrades will not go ahead.
And again, like, we're all rugby league fans and there's plenty out there, but there's a lot of people that think that money shouldn't be spent on those stadiums.
Yeah, but Laurie, we talk about education and hospitals. You know, education already gets $200 billion a year. The theory is great. Let's spend it on hospitals. It sounds great as a sales pitch.
And infrastructure,
you've got to spend money on other things. You can't just spend everything on hospitals and education.
I want to see
It'll go missing somewhere,
first-class facilities, all right? I want to see us with first-class stadiums. But, as I said, there's a lot of people out there that would say, why do we spend this money? It's a waste on sporting stadiums.
Yeah, the same people
apart from all the other money
though,
they waste. Yeah.
Yeah, when big events don't come to Sydney, they'll be the same people blueing, yeah, saying, why are we losing to Melbourne?
It was the great Kerry Packer line at the Senate inquiry. I'd pay more tax if you blokes didn't waste so much.
Exactly, exactly.
Thank you, Dino.
Thank you. Before I go, just quickly, I heard Laurie this morning saying that he gave up his first class seat for his wife a few times.
Yeah. Mm.
Remember Origin?
First class? I didn't say first class.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
I stayed at Origin. Remember, I walked in one Origin, coming back from the plane. There's Laurie in 1C. Poor Michelle's in 46D.
You're a liar.
With the players, of course. Laurie wasn't with his team.
Liar.
And she was carrying all the gear.
Even Virat Kohli.
Liar.
Gave up his business class seat for Ishit Sharma and the bowling group.
I had to give her a cup of coffee. She got nothing down the back.
I've done it before. I've given up my seat. I gave it up to Phil Gould once.
You did too.
On
the
sideline.
That was involuntarily.
I've given it up for my wife.
Good on you, Bulldog.
Thanks, boys.
Good to chat.